You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And I've seen times, too, where like we go and the Lord puts a message on my heart, and the music, you know, praise and worship starts going, and all of a sudden we just go right into the throne room, and we just have a whole service of nothing but praise and worship. And I love those services, you know, because we're in the presence of the Lord. I've seen times where people are scattered all over the church on their faces, you know, not so pretty times, with, you know, snot coming out the nose and crying and slobbering.
I love it.
Yeah.
The Lord says a broken and contrite heart is pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
He will not snuff out a smoldering candle. He will not break a bruised reed. And I think it's even a gift to go in and to come to that place of being broken. You know, if you're not broken, you're kind of like, you're not really,
right.
I don't get blessed when I'm not broken.
Right.
But if he gives me the gift of going, oh, you know, I really messed up, but whatever it is that happens, then you can, you know, be touched by the Lord.
Right. And majority of the time, you know, part of my testimony, you know, when we're broken, we're vulnerable and we can receive. You know, it's like, okay, we give up. God, that was me. I give up, God. I can't do it. I can't do it. My way is not working. I can't do it.
Surrender.
How about I just do it your way? And the Lord gave me a word, because I work. You know, I do prison ministry every week in Okeechobee Correctional Institution. We have the Sunday service there, me and Brother Danny Lopez. And we go in every Sunday. And, you know, I go in there with some hardened criminals. I'm talking lifers, multiple lifers. And, you know, I see Jesus working on those hardened guys. And you know, the Lord gave me a word not too long ago. It's like, because you know, I believe in communing with the Lord and being led by the Spirit of God. And the Lord speaks to me all the time. And he says talking to a bunch of prisoners now, he says, the freedom, because that's what they're all thinking about, freedom, because they're in, you know, in confinement. The freedom is in the surrender. And it's like, the flesh can't understand that. The flesh, you know, the flesh, like, what are you talking about? The flesh is in the surrender. I said, well, what's the universal sign of surrender? Sticking hands in the air. We all know, all you guys know about that, because they all had to do it when they were arrested, you know? And I says, the freedom is in the surrender. You want true freedom is through Christ. Surrender your life to Jesus. Let him see what he can. If you give him a shot, let him show you what he can do with your life, you know? And that's what, you know, I went down that rabbit trail, but that's what it's about, is being vulnerable, giving your life to the Lord, accepting his ways, make his ways your ways, sacrificing your flesh daily. And the pride thing, you touched on the pride thing. That pride thing's huge. To me, pride is the root of like 90% of sin. You know,
agreed.
And yes. And we, you know, I remember one years ago, I went to a praise and worship session, and the anointed pastor, and he gets up there and he's praying for all of us. He goes, okay, well, put your hand over your heart where Jesus lives. We put our hand over our heart where Jesus lives. And he says, the Lord's got something he's going to put on your heart that you need to work on for you, to that's going to be standing in the way between you and the Lord. And all I heard was pride. And I'm going, who, me? Pride? I'm not prideful. Well, that was being prideful, saying that I wasn't prideful, you know? And I'm going, okay, well, now I need to do some self-examination, because we all want revival. We all want more blessings from the Lord. We all want, you know, different things going on. Well, all of that starts with us looking in the mirror and doing a self-examination. We're not supposed to judge. Everything that talks about judging in the scriptures, we need to be judging ourselves.
Yes.
You know, if we judge ourselves and say, hey, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10, this talks about taking every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Well, me and my actions, the fruit that I'm producing, is it lining up with the Word of God? Is it exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ? Is it, you know, am I living the life that the Lord wants me to live? And it's a daily thing, because we have to sacrifice our flesh daily and walk with him daily. And you know, when we, and then just like what Paul says, when I know that I am weak, then I am strong. Because if I can't do this, and I know I can't do this, Lord, I can't do this, I got to give this to you, then that's the best time to be. That's the best way to be, because then we get out of his way, and then he takes care of it for us.
Speaking about getting out of the way, you were in business for years, then you had the ministry of helps, just like our friend Michael Michael the Greek, I call him, who got you on my show today, and I thank him.
That's my brother.
but Warren Kelly, pastor of Okeechobee Praise and Worship Center, I want to ask you this. So when did you know that you were called to become a pastor? Because that's quite a calling. Mm. And you also had some other men around you, apparently, that it confirmed this. How did the Lord speak to you that, you know, because, you know, people don't understand. A pastor's like a surgeon. The phone can ring at 2 o'clock in the morning and Mrs. Smith is going to go, my husband is snoring again, Pastor. What am I going to name it? Right. And you have to, you know, bite your tongue. You know, right. And then there's people who get addicted to you. Like, what do they call that? You know, they get you given, you're going to have to back off a little bit. And, you know, they want you to parent them or whatever it is. What do they call that when people get too attached to another person?
I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway, it's the toughest job in the world, I think, to be a pastor. And it's definitely a calling that God gives you. When did you know?
Well, I've just the way I look at it is, you know, the fivefold ministry is I know the anointing that I walk in, and as an apostle, as an apostle, I have the label as pastor, but it's an apostolic call to set the order of the Lord, the kingdom of God. And that's why He sent me to Okeechobee. You know, I've always felt the call, but I just, you know, praying about it now as you're talking about it, I remember I was going to a church, and they had a class that you kind of went to, and it showed you the vision of the church, and if you want to become a member, you had the opportunity to become a member, and so on and so forth. And they asked us to share a testimony of when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and shared a little bit of our testimony. And I remember there was the pastor's wife was there, a couple sisters and brothers, and I believe my brother was there. I believe my brother Mike Simons was there, and Mike the Greek, as you call him. And, you know, it was just years and years and years ago, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking, and as I'm talking, these people, you know, they just sit there and were looking at me with their mouths open. And the pastor's wife, she looks at me, she says, Brother Warren, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're a pastor. And I just, you know, I took my hands and I look up and I kind of like shook my hands at the Lord. And she says, oh, you know this. I says, I've been told this my whole life. And I ran from him. She says, are you tired of being Jonah? I says, that's why I'm here.
Jonah, that was the guy.
That was the period at the end of the sentence right there for me, you know.
Women know. The Bible says only a fool does not confer with his wife. When I used to travel, and sing for guys like you often around the whole country.
Yes, sir.
Even Africa and Haiti and some other places. But after I got to know you, I'm staying at your house for a few nights, you know, back then when I was in my, you know, late 20s, 30s. I'd ask you, I'd say, hey, Pastor Warren Kelly, what does your wife think of me? Because I knew that if the wife approves of me, because of that intuition, then I'm okay. But if they had a check in their spirit, then I better have a check about me because something's wrong. Because women know stuff.
Sure.
It's a gift. It's like they have a sense that God gets. That's why it says in Proverbs, only a fool does not confer with his wife.
Yeah. I'm blessed to be married to a woman, a beautiful woman that has discernment, that's amazing. We've been together for 34 years. We've actually, just before I turned 19, she was 18, I was 18. Yep, and a lot of prayer. I give all the credit to Jesus because she should have run me off with a stick a long time ago, you know. But you know what? She prayed, her mama prayed, and, you know. And it's amazing. You're 100% correct because she has, and we're called. That's why, you know, God took Adam's rib because Eve was supposed to be by his side as his helpmate. And she's just as important as me. And she's not to walk behind me or in front of me. You know what I'm saying?
She's not in front of you. Right? She's beside.
Yeah, she's not on my foot bone, but my side, you know. And she helps me a lot because she has a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And she comes to me, and when the Lord and she's getting bolder to come to me because as you can probably tell, I'm pretty outspoken, pretty alpha, and she knows how to come to me and approach me and say, hey, the Lord has put this on my spirit, and you need to take a look at this. And I've seen it. She showed me, and she'll see it 10 times faster than I do. It's amazing because I get wrapped up in whatever I get wrapped up in. And like we were going to a church one time, and she quit going. She didn't say anything. She just quit going. And it's because there was some stuff going on that wasn't, that didn't agree with her. Well, it took me about 6 months to catch up. And I caught up, and she let, you know, the Lord work on me, you know, about that. And, but yeah, you're 100% correct. She helps me tremendously. She helps me tremendously. And, it's a good thing because, you know, she's dove in, we're all in for the Lord. And she's right alongside with me and labors, and we're blessed to financially to where she doesn't work. I work. I guess it's, you call it bivocational. So I work. I've been working. I work a full-time job. I run a drug dealership in Fort Pierce.
You still do that?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Actually, you could see. I don't know if you can see me, but, you know, there's a, I got one of my work shirts on right now. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Truck Max. Truck Max. Yeah. I've been with this location for 10 years now. And, but it, you know, and I own a farm.
You own this trucking company?
No, it's a truck dealership. We sell, I'm a sales manager there at this dealership.
Yes, sir. Sales manager.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a wonderful, the Lord has anointed. And it's, that's another thing. I've surrendered my whole life, including my wallet and everything else. And he just blesses it all. You know, he blesses me coming and going.
Listen to this. I just came from the pastor's church. I went to Africa with him in Virginia, and he had 9 children, and he taught all the children about tithing. I mean, he was telling me this stuff 30 years ago. You know, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me now with your first fruits and see if I'll not pour you out a blessing. Well, I come back, and I have to be, you know, I've given tithes, but I haven't been consistently. So I would not say before the Lord that I've been the best tither, but all of this is really crazy. I come back. This is a common family. He's a poor little church preacher. Most of his children are multi-millionaires.
Right, praise God.
This one daughter brings in $1 million a month.
Wow,
it's amazing.
God.
The other one owns a construction business. The other one does this. The other one. I was like, and I know all these people when they were little baby kids.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Years later, because little Daniel was a little boy who used to sing, there's victory in Jesus. I mean, he was so on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
And I understand he became a prophet. And then at the age of 37, he got cancer. And he's the first child to die in the whole family. And that's what I was up there. They were dedicating a $3 million gym that they got, $2 million gym they got together and dedicated it to Daniel. And now the pastor has the moment he turned the church over to his eldest son, it prospered. Now they have this whole big church. They have this gymnasium, and kids are coming to know the Lord through that. And the Lord told him to get out of the ministry, write a book. And matter of fact, I got to put you together with him too, Charles Bennett.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I'm going to have Michael put you two together.
Yeah, Michael's got it. Yeah, Michael can get a hold of me. You know, it's funny you called him a prophet. And how he's profiting in the economy, you know, and a lot of people get, you know, through different movements of the, you know, of, and I believe like you go through different times and the body of Christ goes through different times and he takes us to another level. And I was under the Word of Faith moment for a long time. And it taught me a lot about faith and how to speak my words and so on and so forth.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.